Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look. What are you laughing at already?
Because you went... It's a slightly overdramatic big breath there. For dramatic effect.
I was very excited.
Yes, well, you've just told me off that I shouldn't be too excited, so now you're not allowed.
No, you just shouldn't be excited near the microphone, all. You can be as excited as you like.
Very much.
And whatever that is, definitely don't do.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm fiddling with my cable. The trouble is, it is so, so hot here that I haven't got all my usual gubbins around my laptop to help with the insulation. So I haven't got bits of cushion and God knows what. So it's boiling. And my sound quality is shite, but I'm sorry, much as I love everybody, I am not going to suffocate myself because there is already, I'm wearing as few clothes as possible and there is already sweat trickling down my back because I can't have a fan on and I can't have
but
my
how,
door open.
How does dampening your computer make you hot?
Because I make a little house for my computer and stick my head in it.
Oh,
see. And if I did that, I would pass out after about 7 minutes, okay. I think. Yes.
I mean, normally what I do is pop a duvet over my microphone.
Are you doing that now?
I am, yes.
Are you not boiling?
Am I what?
Are you not boiling?
No, it's not over me. It's just over the microphone.
I see. Oh, also, tell the nice girls and boys at home what is wrong with you today.
I've got the old COVID.
Yes.
I'm afraid. Yes.
For the second time.
Yeah. Yes. I came down with the COVID again.
And where are you supposed to be?
I'm supposed to be at your house.
And where are you?
I'm at my house.
That went wrong, didn't it? Yes.
In a whole nother country.
Yes.
It did go wrong because, yes, I tested positive. I tested positive the day before I was supposed to fly to your house.
Yes.
And although I didn't feel all that poorly, I couldn't really, in good conscience, get on an aeroplane anyway.
No.
Good conscience, get on an aeroplane anyway. So I am here and you are there. And
yes.
Although it probably does make recording easier because we didn't know how we were going to do that.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. So, you know, silver linings.
Yes.
But it's a very, very thin silver lining to quite a big cloud.
Yes. But on the plus side, you don't need to see me grumpy and...
sweaty, by all accounts.
Grumpy, sweaty and cross because it's too hot and there's no rain. Anyway, back to the introduction.
All right, so should we try again? Here we go.
Yes.
So, welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. Stop laughing when I say the words.
It's because you've got a bit febreze, that's all.
This is not the funny bit. The funny bit comes later.
All right.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Jeff Thomas and Lucy Freeman. Harriet Carmichael is absent as she's currently scouring the Spanish Hills for a copy of the Radio Times, in which we mistakenly appear twice this week, which is nice for us, but a bit baffling for everybody else. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week, and last week in fact, in Ambridge.
We began the fortnight with Peggy being philosophical about babies while they snuffled away like small guinea pigs, and then over to the stables where Shula and Alice were snuffling away like small guinea pigs at Justin about the new cross-country course for setting the run up to the first jump on the other side of the bypass. The whole Gay Grables event was totally baffling. Ardil shouted over the noise of bagpipes and people whirling around in kilts about the Caroline Sterling Suite, a place of refined tranquility designed to make everyone normal feel a bit sweaty and anxious, discounted entry for the villagers, and a theatre space. A theatre space? Wither the village hall. We have to have productions in the village hall. Otherwise, where would Robert and Neil be able to bang noisily and get shouted at by Linda? Where would backstage snogging happen? Most importantly, when there is the traditional annual walkout by all cast and crew when they've been pushed to the limit by some overbearing despotic lovey, which doors are going to bang when they leave? No good if they have to walk down three flights of architect-designed stairs and be signed out by a suited security person with an iPad before they can sulk in the car park. Also, Linda was very concerned about there not being a receptionist. And I agree. Who is going to sneer at your luggage? And now we have to address the Peggy issue. I'm sorry, but we do.
Yeah.
I go to church every now and again. I even clear graves in my local churchyard, as that is the sort of well-meaning, irritating busybody that I am. At what point am I allowed to commission my own stained glass window commemorating members of my family without recourse to the vicar, the diocese, the Church Preservation Trust, the congregation, or anyone else? I mean, I know Peggy and Brian kind of have Ambridge feudally sewn up between them, but this is madness. What next? Tom asked Granny for a stained glass advert for the Bridge Fresh app? Bridge Fresh leaks. God, they're good. And now I've lost the bloody place because you're laughing. As so often happens after childbirth, all Natasha's juices exploded. Luckily, Caitlin had gone nosing about Sawyer's farm when it happened, and as she is a stranger to the village, raised the alarm. Anyone else would have presumed it was Will Grundy taking pot shots at a moorhen that had looked at him funny. Natasha's juices are being looked after by Louisa and Parker, who appears to be a bit useless. Well, he's very old, and all he's done for the last 50 years is help Lady Penelope in and out of that car, so no wonder he's forgetting things. Ardil is suffering the consequences of not paying attention to the first rule of living in Ambridge, namely, don't reveal the slightest interest in or knowledge of anything if you don't want to be referred to as a specialist in it, and asked to perform it at every possible occasion. Unless there's only the vet, because he once said he liked cats. No training or anything, he just said it, and wallop, there he was. Ardil's feigned knowledge of palm reading, which was just an exercise designed to let him hold Krusty's hand, has now led him to be viewed as the Madame Arcati of Ambridge, thanks to his new best friends Linda and Lillian. Betty wishes he could go back to when they wanted to kill him. And why are they his new best friends? Because in an effort to ingratiate himself with Lillian and Linda, Ardil persuaded Ruby to eat a tennis ball covered in sausage meat, then waited for Alistair to identify it as a tumour and remove it. Alistair didn't mention that the tumour had bounced when he finally removed it, but he was so delighted that for once an animal he treated had survived, he was a bit overcome. For this, Ardil now has Lillian and Linda on his side. To the extent that when he read Lillian's palm and basically described her as a randy old goat that smelled like a pack of Bensons, she said, yep, you got me bang to rights. Tracy is being grumpy and stroppy with people, and quite frankly, even if she wasn't being bullied by Gemma, Queen of the Gizzards, she has good reason. She is skint. Her daughter has the mood moderation abilities of Vinnie Jones. Tony talks all the way through her cricket training sessions and then sulks when she asks him to hush up. And Russ is Chelsea's entirely inappropriate adult. A question here presents itself, by the way. Why is Tracy not talking to Emma about Gemma? As Emma seems to be the queen of the gizzards whisperer, why can Tracy not just say to her, hello, Emma, who is my niece, how on earth did you get on with that bint Gemma as she is making my life a misery? I'll tell you why not. Because playing the Emma character in The Archers is the golden ticket in the Willy Wonka factory of stardom. And anyone that plays it goes on to win Oscars ect. So Emma is at the moment reclining by a pool in the Hollywood Hills saying to Natalie Portman, oh God, it's Auntie Tracy again. I'll leave her on red. That's why. Don't say we don't give you the inside track. The end.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Dear. I'll just have a cough. Yes.
That was very good, that.
Thank you.
It's mostly very good, I have to say.
Thank you.
It's very, very rare that it's bad.
Good. So well done. Do let me know, won't you, when I've let you down in any way.
No, I don't mean that. It's always very good, of course. Yes.
When I said Peggy, you went, yes. So were you expecting me to talk about the fact that she's leaving?
Yes, I was. Yes, of course. Because, you know, that's what's happening with Peggy at the moment. I mean, obviously, there are things happening in the show as well. But they are of secondary importance, I feel.
Because you, when you first started listening, yes. Which was 18 months ago, I think.
Yes, yeah.
You couldn't believe that we had such an older generation cast. Could you? And
no,
you
indeed,
and especially Peggy, who is basically 150. And, you know, you sort of said it's just remarkable that she's still working and she's still on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I still can't believe it.
Yeah.
It is genuinely
And then
incredible.
You said that you couldn't help but feel take it personally that the second you start listening, she immediately yeah. leaves after
exactly.
you sung no, her praises to everybody.
It is it's hard not to think that it's a little bit about me, at least. I don't think I'm a narcissist, but, you know, that's quite the coincidence that I start listening to The Archers and Peggy Woolley after 72 years or whatever it is, finally thinks, do you know what?
Sod this, I must.
This seems like a pretty good time to hang up my boots. I am quite sure, entirely without parallel and not even close to parallel anywhere in the world, in any in any media at all. I mean, who the hell's been doing anything for? I mean, most people are, you know, dead or dribbling in a bath chair by the time after 72 years, let alone, you know, doing scripts on and she, you listen to her and you'd never, for in a million years, suspect that she's 100 and, what is it, 103, 104?
Kerry Davis said she's always the first one to, she knows her lines, she's always the first one to arrive at rehearsals. And also, she used to say, oh no dear, I think you'll find Peggy doesn't have sugar in her coffee, because she can remember, you know, in 1982, she said, I've given up sugar. And
she's literally been Peggy all her life. I mean,
but
she must.
It does make you wonder whether or not, which is she an amazing old lady because she is still working, or is she still working because she's an amazing old lady? That's the.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think there's probably
a bit of both.
Bit of both, indeed. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But it's made me enormously sad, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't want to get too morbid here, but very often, when people who have had a real passion in their lives like that, something that they've done for a very very long time, and it's been a huge part of their lives, when they stop.
Mm.
Let's
not carry on down that.
I worry.
Yeah.
I do worry.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I do know exactly what you mean. And I wondered the same thing. But I wasn't crass enough to actually say it.
Yes, yes. Well, no.
There's the difference, you see.
She's in 18 months. I mean, I can only imagine what this must be like for people who've been listening to The Archers for decades. Because in 18 months, you know, I've fallen in love a little bit with Peggy and with June, and I don't want her to not be a part of my life anymore. That's very very sad.
I think I've had so many storylines where I have been completely infuriated with her that I'm a bit more ambivalent than that. As an actor, I am very, very sad that she's going, because I think she is a sodding amazing actor. But as a character, I'm not quite glad, but I am. It would be nice not to hear storylines put through the Peggy filter. That would be nice.
I mean,
the Daily Mail filter.
Mostly for the, for the last 18 months, she hasn't been like that. She's mostly just been lovely and wobbly.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yes. So
even this, I think I'm perhaps predisposed to view her actions more positively than most people then.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that whole history.
She has caused tremendous trouble in the past.
Yeah.
And we always used to say that she was the Daily Mail in human form. She was, that's exactly what she was.
I just haven't seen that at all.
Everything was about respectability. In a different way to Jenny Darling, because Jenny Darling, it's all about class and snobbery, and because Jenny Darling's frantically trying to hide her roots. Whereas Peggy learned to sort of embrace her roots, but she has that fierce fear of not appearing respectable. And also trying to sort of bully people into doing what she wants by holding inheritance over their head.
So let's talk about The Window. I do not have the slightest problem with that at all. I don't see what the hell it has to do with anybody else in the family. You know, Peggy has decided for whatever reason that she wants to donate a window for the twins.
Yeah.
And it's not a zero-sum game. This isn't costing anybody else anything. It's just, you know, it'll be... And twins are a bit special. It's just... I think it's nice. And I do think that it's going to be undone. But I don't think it should be undone. I think, you know, who the hell cares? If Peggy wants to do that for the twins, that'd be lovely. It'd be lovely for her, lovely for the twins. Who cares?
What about the other grandchildren, though?
What about them?
I see. Well, it's... But why should... Just because they didn't have the fortune to be, you know, a split chromosome, well, I forgot what twins are, a split egg or something, then they don't get a window, no. But the twins do.
That's all right. I mean, so I'll give you... My brother, yeah. My little brother, right?
My brother, yes.
I didn't go to university. I left school and went straight to work and sort of and did my training through work and so on and so forth. Partially because I didn't want to be beholden to my parents anymore, but I don't, that's fine. And my brother went off to university and then he went back and studied a bit more later and so on and so forth, and had a little bit more difficulty finding his feet in the professional world and so on. And so one way and another, my parents have supported him financially quite a lot more than they've supported me down the years. And that's completely fine. It doesn't bother me one bit. I never think about it. I've never mentioned it.
Yeah, but that's not because you're... That's because you're not a Bridge Farm archer. They are and always have been. That you didn't know John, did you? See, it all changes when you know John.
No, well, right. So he's been mentioned a couple of times.
Yes, John, week. The ghost of John, or the spirit of John Archer, hangs over that entire farm and family. There's always something missing. He is the spectre at the feast. There's always something missing. It's John. Yeah. It caused Pat's depression. It caused Helen's feelings of inadequacy because she wasn't John. It caused Tom becoming a sort of scatterbrained attempt, wannabe overachieving maniac to, you know, to try and, you know, and that was all down to John. He was Peggy's favourite. He was Pat's favourite, I think. Everybody in retrospect, you know, the gilded retrospect, everybody loved him. And
was this the tractor accident?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And it kind of created this... I mean, if you think sibling rivalry is bad in the Brookfield Archers, it is nothing compared to... Because they know that a third of their mother's attention is always with John, who isn't there anymore. Helen and Tom squabble like bloody mad for mummy and daddy's attention.
I mean, yeah, we have seen a little bit of that this week, but it was all quite good natured. I mean, nobody was getting angry about it or anything. But you know, there's just a little bit of...
They don't get angry; they get hurt.
Yeah,
there's a lot of frozen silences and sniffs. And no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. Yeah. And then Pat going, I must rush after Helen and see what's wrong, when she knows perfectly well what's wrong. Oh, I must rush after Tom and see what's wrong. And you know, and then my fear is that she's gone down. Pat's gone round to have a pop at Peggy, and now Peggy's going to cark it, and that will be that will be Pat's last words.
No. Oh God, can you imagine? So you think John dying in the tractor accident has had an impact?
Yeah.
Pat nagging Peggy to death would be a whole new level, wouldn't it?
Good God. Stop this, I'm dying.
But I quite like these scenes because they remind me of who's related to who.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that whole side of the Archer's family is, I've got to be honest, it is still confusing. A little bit misty.
Yes.
Unless I sit down and have a really good think about it.
Or a look at Laurie's.
I have trees. To dig out Laurie's. Exactly.
With your fingernail and your tongue sticking out the corner of your mouth. Oh!
Yeah, exactly. So I quite enjoyed the storyline, but I do think that, and honestly, you know, Peggy's 103. If I were her, I'd be inclined to say, sod it.
Yes.
I'm doing what the hell I like at this point.
Yes.
And the rest of you can sod eat off. It.
Yeah.
You know.
If there's any consolation, all of us get muddled up about the Archer's family.
All right.
To the extent that whenever a new relationship starts, someone will always say, aren't they cousins?
Well, I mean, there's a pretty decent chance, isn't there?
Yes, somewhere along the line. Yes, they are.
It's not unlikely.
And of course, Emma Grundy has muddied the waters considerably marrying everybody called Grundy. Eddie's the only one that's escaped so far, but she'll probably be in a civil partnership with Clary by the end of the year.
And now, of course, we've got a new generation. Mm-hmm. Or no, an addition to the latest generation. I did enjoy, by the way, the baby sound effects.
Yeah, they were quite sweet, weren't they?
The breathing. Yeah. that really took me back. And not in a completely positive way.
I'll just have a peaceful sleep. Why are they making that noise? It's just, you know, you think, are they just so blocked up? They haven't learned how to breathe? What's going on?
But mostly in a positive way.
Yes.
That is quite a sweet memory from when we had the kids.
Yeah.
And then there's all the other memories of, you know, cleaning things up mostly.
I liked it when Tom went, "Oh, Seren!" So whatever, she probably shat herself lavishly when he just God, I remember once cleaning my daughter and I was getting ready to go out. And I was in my best clothes and I just gave her a final nappy change before I left. And she sneezed mid-change and every orifice, just every nose, every all the way down.
Instant evacuation.
Yeah, of everything. And I was covered. I looked like a sort of Jackson Pollock of khaki shades all the way down the front of my sequin blouse, which serves me right for A, having a sequin blouse, and B, thinking that I was able to change a nappy while looking semi-decent.
Yeah, no. When I was a baby, or a toddler, I should say, we lived in Hong Kong, and my dad was sitting in one room eating a bag of lychees, and my mum was in the other room eating a bag of grapes, and I was toddling back and forwards between the two
God.
Of them. Yeah, and I was getting exactly twice as much soft fruit as they thought I was getting. And
what will the harvest be, we ask ourselves.
Thank God this was pre-Insta days, because it was utterly, utterly catastrophic by all accounts.
Carnage.
Just apocalypse. It was just my poor parents. I'm amazed they're still talking to me, to be honest.
Did they just burn the flat down and move out? We can't clean this, we're just leaving it.
Yes, that's why they came home, I think. Right, we need to leave now.
The colony, yeah.
How many sets of twins are there in the Archers?
There is Lily and Freddie. Mm-hmm. There is Shula and Kenton.
Yep.
There is Nova and Saren.
Right. Is that it?
I think so.
Nonetheless, you see, the twins make up, something between sort of 2.5% and 3% of the population.
Yeah.
So are we seeing, storylines here, aren't we? There shouldn't be that many sets
but
of
it runs
I mean,
in
okay,
families,
it
doesn't it? If there's twins in the family, you're more likely to have twins.
Yes, I think so. But hang on, so we've got Kenton and Shula, and we've got Lily and... I mean, are these family?
Yeah.
Oh, God, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll take... They're all archers, one way or
beep,
another.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Reversing.
All right, fine. Then
good. Carry on with the twins.
Yeah. I think Tom, by the way. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of negative, and generally Tom is a twat.
Yeah.
You know, I'll happily concede that.
Yeah.
But I think he's been quite good the last few weeks.
Yes, he hasn't been. I mean, he was a bit, I don't want her mummy, I want my mummy. But then once he got over that, he was fine.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that whole, speaking as a man, you know, that thing when you come home with a child, and of course then the child is 100% the focus for the mother at that point, and vice versa.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a bit of a shock. Mm. And you, there's two ways you can go with that. One is you can be an adult about it and understand that it's all entirely natural and it's what has to happen in nature and so on and so forth. And, you know, busy yourself going out and buying...
Hunter-gathering.
Exactly. You know, buying everything you now realise you need and hadn't got for having a new baby.
Yes.
Which was, for us, nearly everything, I have to say. Or you can be a knob about it and get the hump, and which you know a lot of men do, I think.
Yeah.
Realise that they're no longer number one.
Yeah.
But I think Tom's been quite good. He did acknowledge, who was he talking to? Tony, I think.
Mm.
And sort of saying, yeah, you know, I feel like a bit of a spare part.
Yeah.
I should, I want to get back to work and so on and so forth. But he's been, and he's tried to help, and he's put up with Caitlin being there, even though she's been quite good as well, I think.
Yeah.
By and large.
Yeah.
I loved her
wandering into the into the packing room and just and helping herself to everybody's veg boxes.
Oh, those strawberries look lovely.
I love them.
I love them, exactly.
What did she have? She had salad.
Yes, salads. Strawberries.
Yeah, she said it's the best thing about living on a farm.
Cream. Yeah. Of course. She took the cream as well. Yeah. let's talk about Adil.
Ardil.
Yes, sorry. Ardil. I'm sure it must be Adil, actually.
Mm.
Very few, because I'm presuming it's Farsi name or something.
Yeah.
And the very, very few, very few other languages have that long R.
Mm.
So I think it probably is Adil. Mm. But yeah, okay, he gets to choose how his name's pronounced.
Maybe they think he's Irish and they're all calling him Ardil.
Yeah, right.
Ardil O'Hanlon.
He has become, in the last couple of months, a villager whisperer. It's bizarre.
Yes, he has. Yep.
And why are they doing this?
Well, he's following exactly the same character arc as Stella, who also became the village whisperer. She was talking to... Do you remember she was talking to...
I do, yeah, absolutely. She's disappeared completely, Maya. By the way.
Yeah. But we, right. as because the Archers represents British culture, basically, we have the attitude of, is it new? Is it different? Well, then we don't like it before we even know what it is. So when they talk about someone new coming or new houses or the new people at blah, 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 we've already all decided that we don't like them.
Mm.
That's just par for the course. Everybody. We hated Linda. We hated Joy. We hate everybody. We probably even hate...
Nobody hated Joy.
We did.
Don't say that.
We probably even secretly hate the twins. Because they're new and different, so we don't like them.
Well, I do hate their names.
Yeah.
Ludicrous names. Yeah.
Ludicrous, anyway, isn't it? So what the scriptwriters have to do is make them paragons of virtue, so that we have we gradually let them shift from a black hat to a white hat. So we're like, oh, all right then. All right, you might be all right then. All right, okay. Yeah, we'll let you in.
But it's a weird combination of Stepford wife and furious people pleaser. It's ludicrous. It's a pastiche.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to upset anybody too badly by suggesting that the Archer's scripting is perhaps not the most natural.
How very dare you!
But his lines are particularly... Yes,
they really are.
Nobody talks like he talks.
No. But he hasn't been given anything to do yet.
He's been given lots to do, though.
Yeah, but it's all just silliness. He hasn't... We still don't know who he is.
No, right. He's got no personality at all.
Yeah. He's just totally reactive to everybody else. Hello, nice person. Oh, hello, nice person. I think you don't like me. I will make you like me. Tick! Hello, next nice person. I will make you like me now. Da, 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 da. And, you know, off he goes.
He's horribly patronising.
Mm. Yeah.
Particularly to this week to Justin, with the whole, you know, Justin just, I mean, okay, you know, your dog gets properly poorly and it is upsetting and so on.
Yeah.
But Justin's a grown adult, you know, he can't...
Yeah, but Justin's so hopelessly out of touch with his own emotions that Ardil actually had to kind of step in and say, it's all right, you know, you're entitled to be sad. Just like, no, I'm not, I'll just keep stapling my finger to the desk. It's fine, I just don't need to think about it. I want my mummy.
But he was talking to Justin like he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and Alistair knows what he's doing, yeah. Justin. It'll be fine. You don't need to worry. Or what was it? Let's get you back to Ambridge for dinner, Justin.
Yeah.
You know, is he going to strap him into his chair and make choo-choo noises? Come on, Justin, just one more. just one more mouthful. You said something earlier. It's just, why does Gay Grables not have a reception now?
I don't know. It was just Linda, because presumably now Linda's decided that Ardil is the second coming after all. She now quite fancies having her old gig back as a receptionist.
And apparently, was she a receptionist?
Yeah. Apparently, can you imagine being greeted by that?
This is one of my questions this week was, because she made reference to that. She said, you know, when I used to work at Gay Grables or whatever. And I know, because that was the explosion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So she was... but if she was on reception, then how did she... Because the explosion was in the kitchen?
Yeah, she was going down to find somebody. And she was wandering around trying to... She was been talking to somebody and they left and she was talking to Freddie. And then the explosion happened and Freddie got her out.
So the explosion was at Gay Grables? Because I got it into my head that it was at... I don't know where I got it into my head that it was.
But
it wasn't at Gay Grables. No. Not the bull. One of the farms. David, and was it not at Brookfield?
No.
Okay, right. I don't know where I got into my head. Perhaps it was the slavery. I think it was the slavery storyline.
Yes. Yes.
Because the barn was built by slaves,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
And then the slaves were responsible for the explosion. Right?
Do you know what? If anybody listened to this without knowing what we were talking about, they'd just be thinking, "What the hell show
slaves?
Are they listening to?" Explosions.
Slaves. Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, that was bad luck for Linda then, really, wasn't it? Because she could have stayed on reception.
Yes.
Be fine.
If she stopped being interfering in everything, it wouldn't have happened. But anyway.
But so how are they going to do no reception? Has this been discussed before? Did I miss
it? No, he just mentioned it in the event at the village hall.
Right.
And she just said, I can't see how they're going to manage without a receptionist.
Are they going to have like those Amazon robots that pick up?
Well, they're going to have those greeters, you know, with iPads that check you in. I don't like that.
But that's basically the same as having somebody on reception, isn't it?
But they're
not standing behind a desk.
Yes, it's the citadel of the desk, isn't it? You know, you won't be seen until I'm ready to see you. And if you have the temerity to step forward and bing the bell when they're not, they don't want to see you and all that. It's all the ritual of going to a hotel and feeling very important or not.
I took the kids at your suggestion to... We were in London a couple of weeks ago and I took the kids to the Clink.
Yeah.
Down in Hops.
South Bank.
No.
South Bank.
Hornsey? No.
No.
Hobnob? What am I trying to say? Where is that area there?
Bermondsey.
Bermondsey.
Okay,
I knew it began with an H. Bermondsey. We went to the Clink in Bermondsey there, and there's a bell to ring, like quite a big bell, up above the ticket office.
Mm.
No, I was quite keen. And just as I was about to ring the bell, the bloke appeared in the window. So
and
I made
went,
him go away.
Oh!
I made him go away again so that I could ring the bell and summon him.
And he was
he was very good about it.
Had I
not had a couple of kids with me, he might have been less accommodating, possibly. But
it's that man again who keeps ringing the bell. Eileen, go and tell him. I'm not standing there all day.
He was very good about it. Can we talk about, please?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Can we talk about the V word?
The V word?
Yes, Tony said it when he was talking about the cows.
Oh, vulva?
Can you not, please?
Vulva, 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 vulva.
You see, can we not have some sort of warning at the beginning of the programme? When my...
I drive a vulva.
You don't. So you know this, but the listeners don't. When my son was born, his mother is German. And like many Germans, has an entirely practical approach to most things in life. And is not one for,
euphemism.
Niceties. Mm. Oh, one of us has gone there, I think.
Yeah, no, we're back now.
Has an entirely practical approach to life, and has an entirely practical approach to life in general. It's not one for niceties. And so, when my son was born, she would refer to his ding-a-ling as his
ding-a-ling.
Yes, as his penis.
Right.
And I was horrified by this. You can't just go around saying penis, can you? It's not. That's not how that works. And so I made my son's mother come up with another word for it, which is peep mats. This was the thing. I didn't realise that she was making it up. I asked her for another name, and so she made it up. She made up
because it sounds a bit like penis,
which is a little bit. Yes, it does. Yes, exactly. And actually, peep mats is the German word for sparrow.
Right.
Which is also quite nice. But I didn't realise that she had essentially appropriated.
How very confusing for your son.
Well, yes, he does.
Yeah, growing up thinking he's got a sparrow between his legs.
He does have some some issues.
Residual
now.
Issues.
But so I then, thinking that this was a common German thing, then spent the next 15
But you didn't call your own one,
years,
did you?
Well, no, not mine, because obviously mine's much bigger. But
Doctor, could you have a look at my sparrow, please? I think there's might be something wrong with it.
I then spent the next 15 years cheerfully referring to this, you know, in polite settings as a peep mat, and wondering why I was getting blank stares.
Mm.
Until my wife confessed that nobody actually called it a peep mat.
Except you, because you're
an idiot. She just did it for my benefit. But you can't just walk around saying vulva.
You can, and it's really, really important that we do. And I'm not going to get onto a soapbox, although I can see one in the corner of my eye. But I am, though. Also, is your stomach rumbling quite a lot?
I haven't had breakfast.
Ah.
Can you hear it?
Yes.
I can't feel it. I haven't noticed it.
Mr. Newby's quite hungry, chaps, but I'm sure you know that.
I am hungry, but I'm waiting for my friend Mickey to arrive with groceries. Because
I see. Oh, yes, you can't go out, can you?
I can't go shopping, and I have got no food anymore.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, it is very, very important that you call things by their proper names, particularly with children.
Now I feel bad, Lucy.
Well, so you should.
Oh, there goes my stomach.
There goes your stomach again.
Good Lord. Unfortunately,
this week's show was brought to you by Jeff Thomas
Weetabix.
Amazing performing stomach.
Unfortunately, my stomach is closer to the microphone than my mouth is, so it's rather stealing the show. can we talk about
the blood in the wee wee?
No, I'm done with that topic now.
Okay, I was just thinking that poor cow's had some beetroot and forgotten. That's all it is.
Possibly, yes. Did it smell of asparagus? humour in the Archers.
Yes.
So, general question.
Mm.
It is not a funny show.
Well, sometimes it is extremely funny unintentionally. Two of the writers managed to get funniness in intentionally. The others, not so much.
Who are the two that managed to get them in intentionally, and in what way? Because I haven't really noticed it.
I would say Kerry is funny because he goes a bit Victoria Wood now and again. And he also Matt Rodriguez Payne emailed us and said, I'm not just leaping to the emails, but it's relevant. He said, where's it gone? He said, did I just hear that correctly? Ardil said he nearly came in his kilt. Please forgive me for being so puerile. I blame COVID or Brexit. Yes, Matt, I did also notice that. And I think Kerry is quite good at popping those odd bits in. Quite Victoria Woody lines. Slightly innuendo-y lines, anyway. Nick Warburton, he is brilliant. You can tell when it's a Warburton week because it's...
But my point is, I think, and this might just be a soap thing in general, because in real life...
Yeah, people are funnier.
People are funny.
Yeah.
People make jokes. Yeah. People, you know, take the mickey. People... Yeah. And it's conspicuously absent.
Well, they try it. They try Kenton and David... try bit of bounce.
Yeah,
and it's heavy-handed and it's always Kenton's better at it than David, largely because he calls David Dave, which just infuriates him, but it's very heavy-handed on David's side, and kind of it descends into squabbling very, very quickly. They can't just have a light-hearted ha 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 conversation. I know what you mean, though. Not even the younger ones just muck around, but then they haven't got time. You're either moving the plot on or you're making jokes. You can't do both at the same time.
Okay. So you will occasionally. Bloody hell! I can't say his name now. The teenager that I hate, not Ben, the other one.
Josh.
Josh, thank you. Josh will occasionally take the mickey in a really, really annoying way.
Yeah.
But I suppose that is...
Yes.
Yes, it's not funny, though, is it?
No.
It's just annoying.
Yeah.
Little turd.
And when they describe something, when they're helpless with laughter describing something that is supposedly hilarious to each other and we're all just staring deadpan at the radio thinking, what?
Yeah.
That just sounds bonkers. You know. Yeah.
Go on.
Shall we do some emails?
Can we just, I feel like we ought to talk a little bit about Russ and Chelsea.
Oh.
And I know I don't particularly want to talk about it either, but I feel like we ought to because it's giving me the willies.
Right. Yes. Well,
He's got form here, hasn't he?
He has got form. Only once, though.
No. There was just the one time.
No, I'm not. Yes, I know.
That he was a bit noncy.
Yes. I'm not saying that, but it's not like he's made a habit of this. So, I don't know. I know this is coming out really badly. I don't know if this is supposed to be the rehabilitation of Russ to
I
us.
I hope so.
In
I
that
really
he is helping
so.
Chelsea with no benefit to himself.
I mean, it's just... So something that Chelsea said this week nearly broke my heart.
Hello, stomach.
You know, for goodness sake. If I had anything to eat, I would, but I don't. I don't, listeners. And by the way, we do have a Patreon.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned that.
He's starving to death.
Yes, can you send biscuits to our Patreon, please?
Money for food.
Something that Chelsea said this week nearly broke my heart, which was, and I think she was talking to Russ about coughing to keying the car.
Yeah.
And she said, "I'm a horror bin."
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's going, she's genuinely worried that
if
she starts down the road of admitting to stuff, it's never going to end.
Yeah.
And can the writers please not then, for the love of God, I mean, it never stops for Chelsea, for Tracy, it never stops. They never get a nice run at it.
But that's the poverty trap, isn't it? That's the poverty trap. That's the whole point of the storyline. But sometimes I think, especially at the moment, I don't know how things where you are, Muriel, but over here we're just surrounded by appallingness, and I would quite like a fairy godmother to just appear.
Honestly.
And if anyone deserves to come up on the lottery, it's them. You just want them to get, like, I don't know, 50 grand. Just to sort them out for a little bit, give them a breathing space, get them a leg up. Oliver is usually that. There's usually a wealthy benefactor.
So here we go then. So yeah. This whole thing with Gently Brad
benevolent
now
is, and all that thing. Yeah.
What would you? Is that? I was thinking about this. I think I would. I'd struggle because you want to do the right thing for your child, obviously. And if Tracy doesn't accept the money, then Brad's not going to. Maths summer school.
Yes.
Ooh, what a time to be alive. I had no idea such a thing. Oh, God. Can I sign up? Oh, go and stay in a stately home somewhere and do sums. Brilliant. Oh.
Listeners, he's not joking.
No, I'm not joking. Yeah. I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
God, that'd be brilliant. Anyway, so if she doesn't accept Oliver's money, he's not going to do it. But he ought to do it.
Yeah. But it sets
up... What would you do, Lucy?
Oh, it sets up this whole feudal relationship, though. With when Caroline Sterling was alive, she of the suite, she was asked to be Will Grundy's godmother, which she was. And so she became then the fairy godmother for the Grundy family because she was wealthy and she was their benefactor. Caroline then married Oliver. Oliver becomes the benefactor to the Grundy family. He's now extended that to the Horribins. You know, he's letting them stay. He's letting the Grundy stay in Grange Farm. It's all feudal. It's all class crossing wealth. And I'm not saying, you know, they need the money, but it would be lovely if somebody could just do it without having some middle class person float along and say, oh, here you are, poor person. Yeah. Here's, you know.
Yeah, there's always, as much as you might like to pretend there's not, there's always a debt there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's very few self-starters in Ambridge. It's all inherited or if you're working class, then you just have to hop about hoping that one of the middle class people are going to take pity on you and fork over some cash.
They seem to finally have given up. Although there were little echoes this week of Tracy and Jazza, you know, having problems. But they seem to finally given up on that now. Yeah. Thank God.
It's not will they won't they anymore. It's now. Yeah, they will. No, they will. Yeah. Calm down. Yeah.
So, but can we please, writers, if you're listening, can we please give the Horribins a break?
Yeah.
Because it's just not nice now.
No,
and he's making me sad.
Yes, and he's hungry, and he doesn't need to be sad as well.
Yes, hungry and sad is and hot because I've had to turn the fan off because it's making
sad,
noise.
Poorly and hungry.
There's no way to go through life.
No.
Okay, let's
do
some
emails. I was just thinking, though.
Oh, what?
When we do have self-starters like Brian Aldridge, who, although he inherited,
is he though
money? He came to the village and he sort of started from nothing here. Well, no, nothing. I mean, you know, middle class and loads of money in public school, blah, blah, blah. But
he's built himself up slowly to be a river poisoner.
Yes. But then, you know, Matt Crawford was, you know, Barrow Boy done good. Lillian's ex, who Nick Grundy ran over. Yeah, and we all hated him. So as soon as somebody does, you know, make themselves a lot of money and whatever, then we all think, huh.
And Vince, of course.
Vince, who we all laugh at for, well, the village laughs at for being common.
Exactly. Well, so, he is a
big.
Yeah. I like
serviette. Yes,
I'm a mince. I'm a mince stan.
You're
like
a mince man, are you?
I am.
A mince stan.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Liz Danziger, who says... A Lily Russ move to Felpersham might be a case of Russ being released into the community. With the exception of his visit to Underwoods with Lizzie, he's been trapped at Lower Loxley for as long as we can remember. The cause of any weight issues which Rosie may have can surely be traced to her mother's other job, which is advertising Just Eat, bringing home leftovers from KFC and Burger King. Yes, she does she's the voiceover for Just Eat.
Is that right?
Newsreader struggles of the Rimsky-Korsakov variety. Earlier in his career, Charles Collingwood, who plays Brian Aldridge, was a newsreader on the World Service. He left the World Service after totally mangling the details of a cabinet reshuffle in Czechoslovakia.
Is that right?
Yep. And?
I mean, who amongst us?
Yeah, I know, haven't mangled a cabinet reshuffle in Czechoslovakia. And Liz also says that we reckon that the whole point of the postbox storyline, apart from providing a additional evidence against Georgie, is that they now have their full 6 episodes a week and are taking advantage to give us a little bit of fun, Susan and Clary doing their Laurel and Costello routine, Abbott and Costello routine. These bits of silliness, over and done in 6 to 8 scenes, are the sort of thing that the scriptwriters haven't had space for over the last 2 years. Now they have, and whether you like it or not, it's evidence that life is back to that weird version of normality only found in South Borsetshire.
I think it's a very good point. Yeah. And we've seen, I've seen a couple of that, like that thing with the fence on the course or whatever you call that. There was, like, as far as I can see, there was absolutely no reason for that whatsoever. It was just, you know, a bit of buggering about.
Yes, yeah. And also, as they said, confirms Georgie is a wrong'un.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm. I quite like it, I have to say. There's a, you know, it was a bit, it was very dense, wasn't it? For I mean, I didn't have any other experience, so this is new for me, actually.
Well, last time we heard of Georgie, he was about 11. And we reckon he nicked the money out of the church roof fund. But he didn't speak then. We just sort of knew about him. Children in Ambridge, they go from confused noise of, you be careful over there, thingy, to then, you know, suddenly having an entire personality, which we have to get to know very, very quickly.
Yeah. He did appear, but 6 months ago, I think it was his birthday, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't speak.
Yeah, not a lot. But this is, they go from being sort of blank canvases to all of a sudden being fully fledged people in their own right, and we have to hurriedly get to know them.
Well, I can imagine at the writers' meetings, they write, okay, so we are now going to start George.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is he? What is he? What does he do? What's he like? You know, what are we going to do?
How much of a little tosser is he? Oh, quite a big one. Okay, good.
Because actually, when the writers are writing babies, what they're actually doing, of course, is and it's got a sort of
storylines.
A 15-year lead time on it.
Yeah.
Is giving the future writers, you know, options, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. I always think, I wonder if they know who's going to marry who.
No, of course they don't. No idea. And because apart from anything else, how long is the lifespan of the average Archer's writer, so Kerry not included?
I don't know.
I bet it's not 15 years.
No, maybe not.
But anyway, to get back to the email, I have to say the Archer's was pretty dense for 18 months or so during the old COVID there. And I'm quite enjoying having a little bit more room to breathe.
There's a little bit more space, isn't there? A little bit more levity and...
It's a bit less intense now, particularly the whole alcoholic thing. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
That was hard work sometimes.
It was like being trapped in a room with them. Rob Williams says, yes, you are so right about Jill not just stopping giving Rosie treats. Do you remember this when Pip had a patronising chat with Jill and said, can you please not give her millionaire's shortbread, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Can you imagine not giving somebody millionaire's shortbread, Lucy?
Yes, don't talk about that. Your stomach will start again. Mm. He says, when I go and sit with my grandchildren, the highlight for my grandson is when we walk around the corner and he can have whatever he wants out of the ice cream fridge. My granddaughter is a bit older and just gives me a shopping list so she doesn't need to change out of her pyjamas. I, of course, usually indulge in a magnum. If my daughter dares to raise more than an eyebrow, I just point out that she's just had X hours of unpaid childcare.
Yep.
Incidentally, adding up is kind of part of maths. It is a branch of arithmetic, which is a subset of maths just like geometry, algebra, calculus. Carry on with your inspirational mouth work, he says. Yes. Well, I think everybody got a bit confused about Brad being some kind of maths genius. Those of us that don't like maths went, oh, God, he's really quick at that, isn't he? Blimey, must be something wrong with him. And everybody else just went, yes, it's good on him, but that's not maths, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was possibly less impressed than some people, maybe. I mean, you know, doing a bit of adding up in your head is not... it's not exactly Goodwill Hunting, you know. But on the other hand, you know, if he's got a talent for it, then good for him. As far as the grandparent snack thing goes, I mean, I do my parents don't. I mean, they do spoil my kids, but not with that kind of thing. Mm. They're quite strict, as they were with me, in terms of, you know, sweeties and treats and so on and so forth, which I actually sometimes think is a bit of a shame. Mm. You know, they should be spoiling the kids, really, and behind my back, possibly.
but then, cross, because you'd be wanting all the crumb cheese and whatever.
Well, yeah, no, I would. Well. And all the millionaire shortbread, indeed. Mm. But then, you know, we hardly ever see them, so that's fine. But if you were seeing Grandma every day, so my ex-wife used to go to Grandma every day for her lunch.
Right.
Because they lived in the same village.
Right. So if Grandma decided to give you...
Exactly. Yeah. Then that would be a different story, wouldn't it?
Whacking great wadges of cake. And also, there is this huge thing about sugar being love, isn't it? There's, you know, because it's calming. Yeah. Breast milk is sugary, tastes sweet. You know,
I'll take your word for that.
It's a very primal thing. It's a very innate thing, and it's very bound up with love and affection and showing love for somebody. And you know, I'm sorry, I've made you a cake and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really difficult to unpick, I think. And that relationship with sugar and love and nourishment and children is hugely complex and probably not something that we should attempt to dismantle. Anyway,
no.
But more food now from Lorna, who says, while nothing is better than fresh buffalo mozzarella and ripe tomatoes in a caprese salad, when it comes to pizza, I doubt it would be the cheese of choice. For pure meltability, nothing beats low moisture mozzarella. While fresh mozzarella exudes water as it melts and becomes more soupy than melty, the best low moisture mozzarella should stretch and stretch, yet still remain dry enough that the pizza crust remains intact. From a fan of Ambridge on the Couch and pizza, Lorna. Thank you, Lorna. It's 12:05 and I am now bloody desperate for a pizza.
You're desperate?
Oh, God. Sorry.
Can we talk about something else?
Yes, all right. Should we get back to talking about poo again?
I quite like wet mozzarella on a pizza.
You'd like anything now, wouldn't you?
No, I do. I do. Give me that dry mozzarella in fistfuls, honestly. I'd never thought about it. I didn't know that there were various...
No, I didn't.
I know inside a burrata's very wet.
Yeah.
But then that's not mozzarella, is it?
No. But she's talking about, because they're going to get the buffaloes, she's talking about the buffalo mozzarella.
Yeah.
Buffala.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I have no opinion either way, but now I really do want pizza. That's my takeaway, literally, from that conversation. Yeah. Laurie Jones says, Peggy used to piss me off because of the way she threw her money around in ways that clearly showed favouritism to certain kids and grandkids. Peggy is my hero. She doesn't have to justify anything she does with her money. It's her money. There is no rule that says she has to be fair. Fairness is a completely subjective concept anyway, and her whiny entitled descendants have no idea what it is to be Peggy and what goes on in her heart and mind, and it's none of their business anyway. It's her money. I like getting old. I used to dislike Jill and Peggy, but the older I get, the more I understand them both. I think I'll go and change my will and then make a huge batch of fudge for my granddaughter.
I like Laurie enormously. That is a brilliant email, and I agree with every word.
Okay.
It is not a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
Bollocks to everybody else.
Yeah.
Do what the hell you like, Peggy.
Yeah.
Well said, Laurie. Fantastic.
Yeah. And Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh, he sounds familiar.
Said that we were talking about a Bernard Cribbins tribute. And he pointed out very wisely, I did think about this, but I thought about it 3 days after we'd said it. And then I got his email. I thought, oh, yeah. He said, the trouble is Bernard Cribbins sang all his songs. So if we do a Barrett Green a la Bernard Cribbins, we have to write words to it that someone has got to sing like Bernard Cribbins. So how is your Cribbins, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever done a Cribbins. Do you like Cribbins? No, wait.
Yes.
I don't know. I've never cribbined. In a Womble style, did he sing that as well?
No, he didn't sing it.
Yeah. But he was,
there we go. Wombles.
He narrated. There we go. Wombles. Yeah. That's the answer, isn't it?
Matt, could you do Wombles? And
You see, you're assuming Matt actually listens to the show.
Yeah, I think he listens
to
We might
have to email him about this.
Yeah. Can you do the wombles, please, Matt? Thank you. And now, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, are you sure people will be able to hear me? I think I am muffled. Very muff, I sound. I do not think this down-the-line linky thing will work. It never works on the Today programme, and they have to say, hello, Minister, can you hear me? No, he's gone. No, he's back. No, he's gone. Until everyone gets annoyed, and they have to do stories about Panda instead to calm everyone down. Also, I cannot see you waving hands at me to tell me when I am to start to talk. Yes, like that. That is what you will say. Oh, that is what you are saying. Now. Oh, sorry. Hello, this is Fabrizio Felbersham, not looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I haven't. I have got the coronavirus and I am to do isolating at home. But I did not want to leave you lurching, dear listeners, so I am talking to you from my bed of pain. Well, it is not really bed, it is sofa from eels. Sort of a turquoise velvet and very much suits my Versace dressing gown. I am setting the scene for you. But do not worry about Fabrice. I am being looked after. Not by Declan. He has a phobia about having to look after ill people, apparently, and it sounds very bad. So he has gone to stay with his friend Troy, who is new person at Carpet Warehouse. And nice Graham from Antique Shop is look after me. He has given me little bell. Look. Oh, hello, Graham. No, that was not a special signal. I was just telling my listeners about the arrangements for my isolationism. So no, I do not need anything, Graham. Sorry. Although, maybe another mango and strawberry smoothie would be nice. And the straw, the curly-whirly straw, if you do not mind. Oh, thank you, Graham. Oh, Graham, did Kelly Marie ring? What is happen at salon? Mrs. Peggy Woolley want what? She want to commission her own signature hairstyle. Oh, that woman is power mad. Tell her we will design her own boot and call it the Mrs. Peggy Welly. She is a bonker. Don't let Kelly Marie tell her that. Luckily, Graham do not have phobia about looking after ill people. Also, he has just had coronavirus and some boosties, so he is fine, and every evening we sit on the sofa and watch Grace and Frankie and worry about where Jane Fonda's face is going next. It is very nice, actually. Yes. Declan make me watch performance pottery, which is where potters come out and read their pottery to everyone in a dark pub drinking Guinness, and it is always about their father and death. It is on Sky Arts, and it is not as much fun as Jane Fonda's funny face, so I will be quite sad when I am well again and Graham is not here anymore. Anyway, today I am going to tell you about being ill, but with style. It is very important when you want to get sympathy for being poorly ill that you still look nice. I imagine the Bronting sisters always look nice even when they were coughing. And look at Ralph Vaines in The English Being Patient. He looked very styled even when had head blown off by Juliette Binoche. Throws, scarves and turbans are your friend. Anything that you can flick about in a dramatic way. Also, as soon as you can get up and move about, have a shower. Not a bath in case you slide underwater and die, as that is not very style unless Inspector Mintz discover you in an Oxford college and say, come on, Lewis. But make yourself smell lovely so that whoever is looking after you does not hate you. Drink lots of water or you will shrivel up and look like the angry lady on Weakest Link. Be grateful to whoever look after you, otherwise they will leave you with no drink for ages and pretend they not hear you shout. Also, oh, here is Graham with my smoothie. Oh, thank you, Graham. I think I am a bit peckish and important I keep up my strength. Is there any of that sushi left? Maybe we could have that. And dessert obnob? And also, probably I think I need to hydrate. So if it is time for my Panadol, can you just pop into some Prosecco? It will just be more fizzy, that is fine. Did Declan ring to check on me? Oh, still not. Oh, he is probably at Power Zumba with Troy. I will turn on the next Flix, Graham, and we will see what hilarious Madeline's Jane Fonda's face is in now. Yes, please. Some nibbles too. Do we have Twinkielets? I think they would go with sushi. Very umami.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. If you would like to... No, hang on. Thank you, Febreze. If...
What was the difference?
Oh, entirely different stress.
Okay.
And meaning there.
Okay.
I'm an actor on okay. this. I understand how these things work.
Okay. He's an accountant.
Anyway. I am an accountant, but I'm also an actor.
I know.
I went to the poor school, I'll have
I
you know.
I know.
I say I went to the poor school. I was there for a week. But they did offer me a place...
Yes.
So, you know. Thank you
for
being
here. No, they offered you a chair. That's different, because I noticed
yes,
you just
kept standing. Would you like to sit down? You are quite fat. Anyway, thank you, Febreze. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Even really big ones, whatever they are.
Especially really big ones, to enable Mr. Newbie to buy, I mean Jeff, to buy...
some breakfast.
Mostly comprising of millionaire's shortbread. Yes.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at on Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. That's ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. Because people have been struggling to find that recently.
And now over to Matt Rodriguez Payne for a very stirring piece of music which will make you want to storm.
Ooh, I like a stir.
Yes, it makes you get ready to storm something, possibly. So thank you very much for listening. Shambridge will be back next week. I think she's back in the UK today, and it's probably hotter here than it was in Spain.
I hope she's managed to get away without all of the diseases that they got last time. I hope Harriet has had a very nice holiday, because last one was a bit of a shocker.
It was. Yeah, she doesn't have much luck with holidays.
No, she's had a bit of a run with the old holidays, and I use that word advisedly.
Oh God, yeah, I'd forgotten that.
No, it was very bad last time.
Was it like you and the lychees?
It was lychees. Yeah, it was Lycheeville.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Newbie, and we will see all of you next week. Bye!
Yes, thank you. Bye. I nearly spoke once or twice there before it was finished, because it sounded like it was going to finish. And then incredible. He's so clever.
I know.
That's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. We're not recording.
I think he's genius. This idea. Mm. He's had a real. He's found a real seam to mine there.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it came from, but it's fantastic, and I'm very glad we have it on the show.
Yeah, me too.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.